Well, I'm going to talk about the workforce and the need for where there's going to be a big need for health professionals, not only public health professionals, but professionals in general, in years to come if the trend continues the way that it is right now. Currently, for those people who are 65 years and older, that population is growing rapidly, as you can see on the screen. It's projected that if this growth continues, about 98 million people will be into that category by 2060, and further, we have very few comparing to the number of health professionals we have today and the way that it is growing. We certainly will not have enough health professionals to care for this population in years to come. Okay. The National Healthcare Workforce Commission is established by the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. It's designed to develop and implement strategies to address predicted shortages in healthcare personnel, especially in the areas of MTM. So we do expect that there will be a grave shortage of healthcare personnel. Okay. Okay. Now, there was a recent study in JAMA which indicated that there will be a shortage of primary care physicians. I was in a meeting the other day, a presentation, if you will, so I had a primary care physician and someone who was specializing in cardiovascular diseases. So it was interesting that the cardiovascular surgeon was quite supportive of primary care physicians because, as he indicated, when you come to me, the cardiovascular person, you've about had it and he's ready to cut. Whereas the primary care physician will see you all along the way and perhaps can prevent your becoming a patient for the specialist, if you will. And right now in our medical schools, I think for the most part, we have people that are really specializing in a certain area as opposed to becoming a primary care physician, if you will. So we're going to have a grave shortage simply because of where we are right now. Okay. Now, the Surgeon General, who was the Surgeon General, Dr. Benjamin, she sees that we have particularly concern that we have too few primary care physicians. There are other pharmacists, there are other healthcare personnel that it will also be in a great shortage, and that will be pharmacists.
Will be able to get a job.
Okay. That will be, yes, you will be able to get any position that you want if the trend continues the way that it is right now. And as she said, pharmacists have a larger role to play in managing medication therapies, typically in some form of collaboration with the prescribing physician. So the pharmacist along with pharmacists and other healthcare personnel will be consulting together to work out the best plan for a patient in the MTM process. Okay. And it is noteworthy to note that Medicare D, those persons, elderly people who have Medicare D, they do have coverage in this kind of plan. Okay. Now, collaboration is going to be very, very important, and what we do, some part of collaboration right now is pharmacists especially and other healthcare professionals too, because now we talk about the healthcare team as opposed to the physician saying, this is my patient. Well, the patient belongs to all of the professionals who care for the patient. So collaboration and monitoring, designing a plan will take a team of people to do that under the MTM. Okay. There is a National Healthcare Workforce Commission, which consists of 15 people, and it is established by the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. Okay, this commission is charged to annually access the nation's supply and distribution of healthcare workers, including pharmacists and other healthcare personnel, and project a demand that will be needed in the next 10 to 25 years. They're also charged to identify barriers limiting healthcare workforce production. What are the barriers? What is preventing? In a college of pharmacy, for an example, they're limited by the number of students can be accepted based on the resources that are available in the College of Pharmacy or any medical school or any other field profession, right? You must have X faculty, X classrooms, X labs, X this and that in order to be adequately, so that you could adequately train a person in a particular profession. And having served as chair of the admissions committee in our college for 15 years, it became difficult sometimes to say no. But I mean, we just don't have the room. And sometimes some of our faculty could not even understand why we could accept only 120 students, and we had applications for 300, if you will, all good students. But because the accreditation body says that we must have this number of resources to accommodate this number of students, we could accept any more than that. But that is a barrier. And so I don't know, do we need more schools? What do we need? And certainly this commission will find out about that, okay? The commission is also charged with encouraging innovations that can address the current and future personnel requirements in the healthcare system. So the goal is to develop a strategic plan to align medical education policy with the pressing requirements of the country's healthcare system. We have to look at access and the implications of the government's Medicare and Medicare programs right now as it relates to our graduate medical education. And this program is also endorsed by the American Association of Family Practitioners and the other APHA, which is the American Pharmaceutical Association. All right. The goals, DHHS will develop and implement the United States Public Health Sciences track at selected academic health centers that will grant advanced degrees in various fields. Okay. But the important thing of all of this, I'm going to move right along, it says that in these institutions that have this special program, that each year they should graduate at least 150 additional medical students, 100 dental students, 250 nursing students, 100 public health students, and so forth and so on. And we're hopeful that that could happen. However, in the end, it has not been funded. This program has not been funded. And so we need to talk to our representatives about the program because it is certainly vitally needed at this point. So the workforce, we expect a grave shortage over time if the trend continues as it is right now. But something can be done if indeed you talk to your congresspeople about the issue. So we'll now open for our question and answers from all of our panelists. Sam has to leave right now, and we want to express to him our sincere appreciation. You have time for one question if you get it? Okay.
I do think that just listening to my colleagues here, there seems to be a lot of potential interest in the intersection, just thinking of three worlds in a Venn diagram of pharmacy, public health, and information technology.
Absolutely.
And it seems to me that there's a logical, again, and I think, sir, you talked about the pharmacy public health relationship. I think there's also a public health information technology relationship, which I talked about. And I think it's nice to get to your point about workforce development. You know, maybe there's some value in creating some cross disciplinary training of public health, pharmacy, IT. All that is very useful. And to your question, I think that would allow a huge opportunity for just an interesting thought that I've always thought about the public health IT relationship, but the pharmacy, public health pharmacy IT relationship also.
I think this is a real message to the educational institution and curriculum, because it's pretty clear that there needs to be, in most places, more emphasis in pharmacy curriculum on IT, how it's used, and benefits.
Sure.
In public health, telling Sam, we've got a position that's opened up in College of Public Health for a faculty position for health informatics, because it's seen as a real important part of educating both our MBA students, our doctoral students, and PhD students, to have someone with that expertise be part of the program.
And I agree, that's why this particular session of the Conference of American Members, we strategically chose the speakers. The pharmacy is a new spec. And I want to say that the pharmacy special primary interest group of the American Public Health Association. And I was so excited that I called Dr. Bell and I said, oh, I'm so excited, I read about this, blah, blah, blah. How can we work together? And he said, oh, I'd be happy to. And then from the public health perspective, then I said, oh, let's do work for it. And then Sam came in with the IT. So your comment is well taken. And I think one of the things that we could do is, and I don't know how you all think about it, is that we have, APHA has the joint policy committee. So we could make recommendations to the joint policy committee. You could do that, Stuart, make recommendations to the joint policy committee. Because I think one of your staff has talked about policy is centered around public health, IT, and workforce.
Yeah, workforce development.
Workforce development.
Look, I just want to say that I really appreciate Diane contacting me, because I really need, extremely need someone to mentor us through the intricacy of the APHA, because it's a very complex organization, and we really need to figure out how to make sure that we get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
I hope I see you before next year. Okay. Are there other questions? Any other questions? Either of us? Yes, we have a question in the back.
This is just more of a comment. They're talking about policy, and I hope I don't offend anyone. I just like to kind of stir the pot just to get discussion going and make it more memorable. But I noticed in your presentation, Simon Farmer comes from New York City. In the FIG, you mentioned that one of the aims is to improve medication adherence. But when we teach, we call it pharmaceutical care, we assess adherence last. So we assess medication, effectiveness, safety, and then adherence last. And so I think adherence is a huge focus. You know, the focus of Medicare star ratings and all these healthcare quality organizations are focusing on adherence. But as a pharmacist, I don't care if my patient is adherent if the drug in question is not indicated, if it's not effective, and it's not safe. Because if we push adherence without those criteria being met, then we're just causing more waste if the drug is not indicated or effective, and more harm if it's not safe for the patient to take. So I would suggest changing that aim to, you know, promoting the provision of comprehensive medication management services rather than
good. I think appropriate use of medication is all part of what we say we want to work on, but that's a good point. I will say that in reference to pharmaceutical care, my impression is that outside of pharmacy, nobody understands what that is, and we might think about using a different term. Something came about because that was a very, very important profession. The difficulty was when it first was reported by Heffler and Sprint, it was a term that was not understood, at least from my conversation, by those outside the profession of pharmacy. And I think it made it more difficult to sort of have pharmacy move in the direction where they really could support those things.
I think the same is also said for MTM.
make a comment. I'm sitting here, you know, and I think it's okay for me to criticize the whole profession of pharmacy. I know that fucking up pharmacists, and that's the exact problem in pharmacy. We have pharmaceutical care, comprehensive medication management, medication therapy management. So one of the things that we really predominate is patient-centered care. At the end of the day, it's about a patient. It's not about pharmaceutical care. It's not about comprehensive medication management. I think the more common thing we are, you know, we should ourselves pharmacists in the foot, and I can say that because I'm a pharmacist, a public health pharmacist, and I think I agree with Dr. Bell in saying that, yes, there is great things, no doubt, a great work that pharmacists that Dr. Bell is trained to do in Minnesota, so we should have set a foot. At the end of the day, when we call that all permanent, new permanent, emerging medicine, integrated medication management, you know, and disease state management, so all this academic term will, in a way, make this profession silo, not seeking the public health work. So I think we're trying to be patient-centered here. In the sphere of interprofessional practice, so I think one thing professional that I push for is that also.
And I like that what you said, because here again, 3 years ago, I had an opportunity to work with Dr. Turner because they have a program at Texas Southern University that actually focused on patient-centered care. Remember that?
Right.
And I mean, it was huge. I had never seen so many people who had come out to participate in that today, right? Mm-hmm. That today program and I focus on patient-centered care. So thank you for bringing that out. Dr. Turner has done that and so forth. And there will be a series of articles, just so you know, that program was sponsored by the Department of Health and Services, Minority Health aspect of it. And so now they're writing articles which will focus on patient-centered care, and they had two cities, one was Houston, Texas, and the other was Chicago, Illinois, and programs centered around patient-centered care. And that was about 3 years ago, right?
Yeah, 3 years ago.
Yeah, and Dr. Turner was one of the individuals who planned that with the Office of Minority Health by the Association.
There are many, many acronyms that we're using now, but the bottom line is the patient is the center of all care. And we depend on other healthcare professionals to provide that care. Years ago, we developed something that was called a patient profile. I know you remember that, Sam. Well, they still use it, as a matter of fact, in the healthcare setting. And so where all medications are required, all the medications, those are prescriptions, some that are OTC, and we look at it and we determine whether or not we have no interactions, and therefore it is a prescription dispense. So we go just a little bit further with this, and having more of a coordination of the medications that the patient is having by visiting individually, and the professional visiting individually with the doctor, to determine the best care that the patient who's the center of all of this will receive. And I think that that is what you were speaking of also. So we have many, many acronyms, but in the end, it all means the patient is the center of all care. And that's what we were trying to show when we had the conference in Houston at that particular time. Are there other questions? Because I believe there's another group of them.
Very common. Can I make some?
Yes.
So one of the things that I want you all to really participate in, the Health Informatics Information Technology section next year, and our conference will be in Denver, Colorado. I don't know how many of you all are there. Did you know that? Next year in Denver, Colorado. So our group, HIT, we're holding for the first time, you can call it a cross-cutting interdisciplinary technologies program, and we're getting all of the groups involved, all sections, all forums, all states, all caucuses, and we're going to have a planning committee, one representative from each group. And I stopped by the pharmacy, the big pharmacy yesterday, and I spoke to, I don't know who I spoke to, but I spoke to someone. But Stu, if you could follow up on that, because we're asking one person from each group to be on the planning committee. And because, you know, technology is just not technology in medical care, or technology in oral health, or something like that. they're at an older age now, you know, and so not age, but years of public health. And I just was so happy. And I'm not a pharmacist, but when I think of pharmacy-related healthcare concerns, I always think about the term, because I've worked very closely with her in terms of pharmacy ideas. So I'm just so excited that Dr. Feldman was excited because I was excited. If that makes sense to you all. And then when he was excited, I said, oh yes. And I told him that the health section, which we were approved in 2009, we would be happy because we were at stage four. So I told him we would be happy to mentor the pharmacy space and show him certain things that we had not been shown, that we had to learn the hard way, okay? So, so I'd like to do that if you all have no objections. So as far as policy and work plan, because you know we all have to do work plan, policy statements, and interact with intersectional counseling and things like that. You know, we have people who have gone through that process that are part of the Health Informatics Information Technology Center. So we'll be happy to share information with you. So life is all about sharing ideas and sharing knowledge. Thank you.
Correct. Okay.
For those interested, the pharmacy space has a business meeting tonight at 6:30. And I think everything that you see about it, including what the focus is up to open to change in terms of rewording. And so hopefully in amendments that you possibly can come and we can talk about how we go forward with it.
Okay. I think we should give what you're doing is quite noble. And I would encourage as many of you as possible, or all of you, to support Dr. Feldman and that you become a part of the SPIG. I'm going to need many, many members of the SPIG, and we can start with our group right now. And we can't identify you. Remember, I took your photograph. We can track you down, okay? I want to thank all of you for coming, and it's been our pleasure to present this information to you. Thank you so much for coming.